Well, greetings, brethren, and welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study, where together we study the scriptures line upon line. And this evening, God willing, what I'd like to do is get through Ezekiel chapter 26. Let me open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the study for this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we pause, as is our custom. We want to acknowledge you. We want to acknowledge the incredible privilege we have to call you Father, to call one another brethren, to call Jesus Christ our elder brother and our Savior and our soon coming King. We thank you, Father, for the confidence that we can have in your word, and we thank you for the incredible blessing of understanding your word and growing in this grace and this knowledge. We thank you, Father, for the holy day season that we've come through, and we look forward now to the fall holy days. We praise you, Father, and just thank you so much for your plan and our part in it. We ask your blessing on our study in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, we want to get through Ezekiel chapter 26 today. Last week, we were in Ezekiel chapter 25, and we saw this judgment against Ammon, against Moab, against Edom, and against Palestine, or the Palestinians. And this week, we're going to see, this week and next week, and possibly the week after, the next three chapters are judgments against Tyre. And Tyre is a significant, or was a significant, city or power in the time of this judgment. So let me go ahead and share my screen. And let's see here. There we go. Hopefully you can see my screen now. And we're going to look at Ezekiel 26. It says here, and it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. So just before we go on to what the word of the Lord says to Ezekiel, just notice his counting. He says, it came to pass in the 11th year. It's been a while since we have been in Ezekiel. We just started back in Ezekiel last week. But remember that this counting was significant, and one of our brothers helped us understand the significance of this counting. In Ezekiel 1 and verse 1, it says, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kabar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. So what we saw here is 30 years have passed. He's counting, and he's counting based on the prophecy that was given to Daniel, the 70 weeks prophecy. And so he's saying now we're supposed to be 70 years in this captivity. We're in the 30th year. There's 4 years left. And so he begins the count. And we see here in chapter 4 and verse 6, and when you have accomplished them, lie again on your right side, and you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed you each day for a year. So we're seeing 30 years have been accomplished. There's another 40 to go. And so this is what the prophet is counting for this second group of exiles. They have 40 more years. And so it's now the 11th year of the count, and he comes to verse 2. So this is what the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. And just remember that we have been through all of these incredible judgments against Judah and Jerusalem. And then last week we saw the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the good news, because now, as Moses prophesied in Deuteronomy 30, God now turns his attention to Judah's enemies, to Israel's enemies, to bring them down. And this is cause for rejoicing for the two houses of Israel. Ezekiel 26 and verse 2, son of man, because that Tyre has said against Jerusalem, aha. So very similar to what we saw last week with Ammon and with Moab. They were rejoicing over the fall of Jerusalem. We see the same thing here with Tyre. Because that Tyre has said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken. That was the gates of the people. She has turned unto me. I shall be replenished. Now she is laid waste. So Tyre, the only way I can explain Tyre sort of in our modern context is it's this island that today, the Tyre is Lebanon. So the area of Lebanon is what we refer to as Tyre. And the city of Tyre initially was a fortified island that excelled in commerce. It would be like like England. So England is this island that there was a time they said the sun never set on the British Empire. And yet it's just this little island. This is the way I think we should think of Tyre, is it was this island that basically because of it was in the center of trade and it had a very, very strong economy, strong military. It was a powerhouse of a city or a city state. And it was conquered, we're going to read about this by Nebuchadnezzar. Then it was conquered by the Persians. Then it was conquered by the Greeks or the Persians, then the Greeks, Alexander the Great. And when Alexander the Great conquered it, he made it a peninsula. So he connected it to the mainland. Rome conquered it in the end. So it basically changed hands. But initially, this powerhouse of an economy was taken down. And we're going to read about this by Babylon. But it was all about economic trade. And that's how it gathered its power. And Jerusalem was a rival to it. And so it had great joy at the fall of Jerusalem because it saw all of that commerce. It could take advantage then and be the sole beneficiary of all of the trade taking place in the Middle East. So this, she says, all of this wealth now will be turned to me and I shall be replenished. Now that she's laid waste. I want to just talk about Lebanon. Who does this land belong to? Let's go to Joshua to see this land of Tyre. Who does it belong to? Again, there's a lot of controversy over the Middle East. And Israel has traded land for peace. And it's gotten her nowhere. Nowhere. So this land that she's giving away, trying to trade for peace, who does the land actually belong to? Well, it belongs to God. And who did God give it to? So here we see in Joshua 19 and verse 24, and the fifth lot came out for the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families. And their border was Helkath and Hali and Beten and Ashkshaph, and then dropping down to verse 28, and Hebron, and Rehob, and Hammon. And there's a lot of different cities and villages that are named here. I'm just cutting into the verses here. Even unto great Zidon, and verse 29. And then the coast turns to Ramah, and to the strong city, Tyre. So this powerhouse of a city, Tyre, or city-state, was actually given to the children of Asher, the tribe of Asher. And the coast turns to Hosa, and the outgoings thereof are at the sea from the coast to Akzib. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families. These cities, along with their villages. So all of this land, when Christ returns, he is going to give it to the tribes that he assigned through Moses. And so all of this controversy will be resolved. And what we're seeing in these prophecies is God takes sides, and he is on the side of the house of Israel. So this area of Lebanon today, as I said, Tyre is Lebanon. But I think as we look at the scriptures here, the scroll anciently, Tyre is Lebanon. But these prophecies have dual applications, or sometimes multiple applications. It's like a pattern, it's like a cycle. And each time these prophecies are fulfilled, they intensify. So there's every indication that this prophecy we're reading has an end time fulfillment. And I think in the end time, we have to be careful. So Lebanon, yes, it's the geography of Lebanon, but in terms of who today is Tyre, in my estimation, the way that I would look at this is we see Hezbollah controlling Lebanon and attacking the house of Judah. But Hezbollah, these are not Lebanese. Hezbollah is actually controlled by Iran. And Iran, although that's Persia, Persians are not in control of Iran. It's actually Arabs that are in control of Iran. So although it's talking about Tyre here, in its modern context, these are Arabs. And although it's talking about Lebanon, it's Arabs that are controlling this and fueling the hostilities and the hatred against the house of Judah. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you. I, Jehovah, the God of the universe, am against you, O Tyre. And I would say today, these are the Shia, the Shiite Muslims, the Mohammedans out of Iran, with nuclear capability and incredible power. God says, I'm against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you. And again, these nations are going to be neighboring nations. So these are going to be Islamic nations as well. And there is no love lost between the Shiites and the Sunnis. They absolutely hate each other. They hate each other with the intensity with which they hate Israel. It's just that they have to destroy Israel first. And once Israel's destroyed, then they'll turn on each other. So all of these Sunni Muslims, particularly led by Saudi Arabia, they hate the Shiites. And so God says here, and we saw it anciently, but there's going to be an end time fulfillment, many nations will come up against Tyre as the sea causes his waves to come up. So just the same way you see waves just keep coming up on the shore, God says, this is the fulfillment of prophecy against Tyre. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre. So this was a really fortified city. It was just untouchable. And the thought that this city could collapse, even in the time of Joshua, there was just such high regard for the stronghold of Tyre. But God is saying they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her tires, her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. And this is really interesting that she'll be made like the top of a rock. It's fascinating because in the Hebrew, Tyre, or Zor, actually means a rock. So you can see here, it means a rock. It's a place in Palestine, but the name Tyre actually means a rock. And then God is saying, I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. So it's kind of a bit of an ironic twist. They take pride in themselves, this stronghold, but God is going to bring them down. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, says the Lord God, Jehovah Adonai, and it shall become a spoil to the nations. So this is similar to what we saw last week with Ammon, Beni Ammon, the children of Ammon, where God says that despite all of their wealth and strength and beauty, that it was just going to become a dwelling place for camels. It'll be a place where you bring your animals and let them rest, a couch for your camels. It would just come down and become nothing. That's what God is saying here about Tyre, that it'll be a place where people go fishing. They spread their nets. It's no longer going to be regarded. It's like, again, Britain. At one time, the sun never set on the British Empire. Now it's nothing. And it's quickly becoming less than nothing. And people just, pardon my language, but it's like a wash basin for the nations. They just go and they just take advantage of it. And it means nothing. It's lost its power. And so this is what we're seeing with this powerhouse of an island that basically ruled the Middle East. God says it's going to become the place where you just go fishing because God has spoken it. And it will become the spoil to the nation. So they'll all come and take their part in it. And so today, Tyre means nothing. You say to somebody, Tyre, or even Lebanon, nobody really cares. It's been destroyed as a powerhouse. And her daughters, and again, even though that nation has been destroyed, I think this tribe, and we'll see, we're going to see the lamentation of Tyre next week, but then we're going to see this oracle against the king of Tyre in chapter 28, which we'll come to maybe next week or the week after. And her daughters, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword, and they shall know that I am Jehovah. So Tyre has daughters, and again, it used to be an island. Alexander the Great made it a peninsula, so it's connected to the mainland, but she has daughters. And those that are connected with her are going to be slain by the sword. And in my view, in the end time, anytime we see that slain by the sword, we're talking about Islam. We're talking about violent Mohammedans. But here, this prophecy is speaking of the Babylonians, particularly Nebuchadnezzar. And this is today, Babylon is Iraq, the area of Iraq, which is 50-50 more or less, Sunni and Shia. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyre Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and companies and much people. Like, God is using this powerful king of Babylon. He's going to think that he's really something and move in and destroy Tyre, thinking that it's all about his power and not realizing that God is in control. And this is really how we have to see geopolitics today. That as we watch, I've mentioned already, the complete collapse of the United Kingdom. We're watching the complete collapse of the American Empire, the greatest superpower the world has ever seen by far. We're witnessing the collapse of this. We're seeing the rise of other nations, particularly I've already mentioned Iran, becoming an extremely powerful nuclear threat. All of this is by God's design. So these men think that they're making their own choices, but God is just allowing them to pursue their human nature, and he's using it. So here, God used Nebuchadnezzar not just to destroy Jerusalem, but also to destroy Tyre. With horses, with chariots, with horsemen and companies and much people. He shall slay with the sword your daughters in the field, and he shall make a fort against them and cast a mount against you and lift up the buckler against you. So again, this is anciently fulfilled by Nebuchadnezzar, but Babylon is Iraq. And who knows how this is going to unfold in the future, but I think we're seeing a Sunni-Shia conflict. And perhaps Turkey takes control of Iraq, and because we're also looking for the Assyrian. But in all of this, we're going to see some conflict between these two factions of Islam is what I'm seeing here. He shall slay you with the sword, your daughters in the field. He shall slay with the sword, your daughters in the field. And he shall make a fort against you and cast a mount against you and lift up the buckler against you. And he shall set engines of war against your walls, and with his axes he shall break down your towers. By reason of the abundance of his horses, their dust shall cover you. Your walls shall shake at the noise of the horsemen, and of the wheels, and of the chariots, when he shall enter into your gates as men enter into a city wherein is made a breach. This is just, again, we'd have to just put ourselves back in time to see this extremely powerful city-state. We consider it a superpower if we were living in the time. And God is prophesying through Ezekiel, it's going to be destroyed. It's going to come down. Its walls are going to be breached, and it will become nothing. And I think we have to understand that all of the powers in the world today are temporary. They're temporary. That the kingdom of God is coming to replace all of them. So we, no matter what happens in the world, we just have to have this faith that all of this is temporary. It's like this pandemic that we all went through for 3 years. And at the time when we were in the midst of it, it seemed like it was going to last forever. It seemed like it would never end. And these very, very powerful people were just flexing their muscles. And then all of a sudden it's over. So this is the sort of faith, this is the pattern we need to understand, that the power of men is temporary. And when we see men flexing their muscles, it's temporary. That the only kingdom that's going to be established and last forever is the kingdom of our Lord. He goes on to say here, verse 11, with the hoofs of his horses shall he tread down all your streets. He shall slay your people by the sword, and your strong garrisons shall go down to the ground. And they shall make a spoil of your riches. And again, this is the key, that Tyre was this economic powerhouse. But they'll make a spoil of your riches and make a prey of your merchandise. And they shall break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. And just as an aside, when I'm reading this, I can't help but think of America. That these nations are going to make a spoil of America's riches, make a prey of her merchandise, break down her walls, destroy her pleasant houses, and they shall take your stones and your timber and your dust in the midst of the water. So just use it as a resource, a pool of resources that they can take from. But this is speaking of Tyre. I will cause the noise of your songs to cease, and the sound of your harps shall be no more heard. God is against Tyre. And again, this powerful city-state, in an Islamic context, this azan, this call to prayer, that they just boast how powerful Allahu Akbar, and they boast how powerful they are, and everybody has to hear the bells and the call. And God is saying, I'm going to cause that to cease. And I will make you like the top of a rock. He says it again. You shall be a place to spread nets upon, and you shall be built no more. For I, Jehovah, have spoken it, says the Lord God. So when you go against Jerusalem, when you go against the house of Judah, God takes sides. And we've already seen from Ezekiel 1 to 24, no doubt about it. God's people, the house of Israel and the house of Judah, are evil. They're wicked. They are covenant breakers. But God is in covenant with them. They are his people. He has chosen them. And when you go against them, anyone who blesses them will be blessed. Anyone who curses them will be cursed. And these are the enemies of the house of Israel. And God is saying, I'm against you. And so he's spoken it. It's going to happen. Verse 15. Thus says Jehovah Adonai to Tyrus, shall not the isles shake at the sound of your fall? When the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the middle of you. So all the surrounding nations, they're going to see this. And they're going to be terrified by what they see. It's going to be astonishing to them. Then all the princes of the sea shall come down from their thrones and throw away their robes and put off their broidered garments. They shall clothe themselves with trembling. Again, these are powerful government officials, princes. So think of the Saudi princes with all of their wealth. They're going to be looking at this and they're going to be terrified and just cast off their symbols of power and their wealth. They shall clothe themselves with trembling, with terror. They shall sit upon the ground and shall tremble at every moment and be astonished at you. They can't believe what has happened. And they shall take up a lamentation for you and say to you, How were you destroyed? How did this happen? How on earth did this happen? And again, for us, we're reading this, it's academic, but had we lived in the time, we would just, how could Tyre be destroyed? And in the end time, when these nations are flexing their muscle, it seems so incredibly powerful, and they've plundered America and transferred all of America's wealth to themselves, we're going to think that they're going to be around forever. But they will be destroyed. This pattern will repeat. How are you destroyed? That were inhabited by seafaring men. So it was just the center of traffic. They didn't have airplanes back then. So all of the goods were really transferred by sea. And everything went through Tyre. The renowned city, which was strong in the sea, she and her inhabitants, which caused their terror to be on all that haunt it. So it has just completely collapsed. This, how are you fallen? It reminds us of the fall of Babylon in Revelation. Look at this in Revelation 18 and verse 7. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torments and sorrow give her. For she says in her heart, I sit a queen and I'm no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Just this will never end. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. So it's so similar to what we just read in Ezekiel. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour has your judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. So at the time, Tyre was this economic hub. In the end time, we're seeing it's Babylon, and we're just seeing this pattern repeating, that if you go against the house of Judah, God is against you. Go against the house of Israel, God is against you. And despite all of this wealth, God says he's going to destroy the wealth. And this is the pattern laid down by Moses in Deuteronomy 30. Back to Ezekiel 26, verse 18. Now shall the isles tremble in the day of your fall. Yes, the isles that are in the sea shall be troubled at your departure. They're all doing business with her. They're amazed at how wealthy they're becoming. And now they see the collapse. For thus says the Lord God, when I shall make you a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep upon you, and great water shall cover you. This is amazing. God is intervening in human affairs, in geopolitics. And people think that as pastors, we mustn't comment on politics. We absolutely have a right to comment on geopolitics because we're reading the prophecies. And the prophecies are geopolitical. And so we have to have an understanding of how God moves in the affairs of man to forward his agenda, to ensure that his plan unfolds. Verse 20, when I shall bring you down with them that descend into the pit, with the people of old time, and shall set you in the low parts of the earth, in places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit, that you be not inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. So quite a contrast what God is doing and how he's going to bring down this powerful nation. I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more. Though you be sought for, yet shall you never be found again, says the Lord God. And so this powerful, powerful nation or city-state of Tyre, it is no more. It is no more. As God prophesied, we still speak about the tribe of Judah. We still talk about the Jews. Excuse me. They still have their original language. They have their culture. They have their symbols. They have their history. Tyre is no more. If I didn't do the research, say, oh, this is the area of Lebanon. Nobody knows. If we were to stop somebody, even in the Middle East, and say, tell me about Tyre, they'd have no clue what we're talking about. And so God's word has been fulfilled. But as I say, this is a pattern that has been laid down by Moses, that he's going to punish his people, the covenant people, to drive them to repentance. And when they come to repentance, he's then going to punish the enemies of his people. And this is what we're seeing in this passage, or these chapters of Ezekiel from 25 to 32. We're going to see, and this is the beginning of the good news. This is the beginning of the gospel, that when Jesus Christ returns, all these tribes of the earth will mourn, they'll weep, they'll wail, they'll gnash their teeth, they'll throw away their gold and silver, and Judah shall rejoice. And God is coming to redeem his people, both houses of Israel. And as we've just celebrated this Feast of Weeks, we are the first fruits of this whole operation. So that is Ezekiel chapter 26. And God willing, next week we'll continue with the Lamentation of Tyre with Ezekiel chapter 27. This Sabbath, God willing, Deacon Jan will be bringing the sermon to us this Sabbath. And I will be traveling. I'll be in, God willing, in Medina this Sabbath. So we'll look forward to you joining us on Sabbath with Deacon Jan bringing the sermon. And with that, I'll be on the live chat. This is actually a recorded study because I'll be on the way back home Wednesday night as this is being aired. And hopefully I'll be able to interact in the chat on the taxi ride home. So God bless you. Jesus Christ is Lord. Thanks, brethren. God bless.